we're talking about what it will take to renovate the UW's aging buildings and what the repair backlog looks like. On the morning show, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Most of the UW system's nearly $1.9 billion capital budget request for this biennium is funneled toward repairs and renovations. Think overdue HVAC, electrical, plumbing repairs, exterior work, the list goes on. Do you work on the UW-Madison campus? Did you experience the flooding? How is your department coping? Are you a UW employee? What facility repairs do you want prioritized? And what do you think should be addressed in the state budget? Are you faculty or staff or one of the recently restructured campuses? What would you like to ask President Ray Cross? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. President Cross, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
So we saw last week burst pipes, flooding damage, 28 UW-Madison campus buildings, including the one we're in right now, Vilas Hall. How is campus handling these incidents and the damage that has been caused?
I think we're handling that very well. I think there are over 1,000 sections right here at Madison that were that had to be moved. Sections of classes. And we got those up quickly, and I believe that almost all of them this week will be fully reinstated into their old room. So that's pretty impressive.
Have we ever dealt with an event of this size before at UW-Madison or any of the UW campuses?
Yes, we have. We've had several events, and we have emergency planning processes. We actually practice those. So this went off really well, and I have nothing but compliments for the staff and folks here at Madison who made this work so smoothly.
Is there money in the budget to address accidents like this? Surely insurance is going to come up on the other end of it, but what about this aging infrastructure?
Well, it's something that's important, I think, and all of this is coming to a head. And in reality, the cold weather, half of those incidences were a result of other things like construction going on and some of the areas of the buildings were exposed to this weather. But the rest of it is that our buildings, so many of them, over 50% of them, were built shortly after World War II, and they're at least 50 years old. And they've just plain worn out in many cases. And the process of maintaining them and preventing these kinds of things just takes time and money. After the insurance is recouped and we recover some of that, obviously, we maintain some of that in our fund balances to obviously take care of emergencies pending payment from insurance companies. But it is always a problem, and it's chaos for students, faculty, and staff when that happens.
David Darling, the Assistant Vice Chancellor for UW-Madison Facilities Planning and Management, told the Board of Regents that there is a backlog of deferred maintenance on UW-Madison's campus, and the problems are increasing in frequency and severity. So how can aging facilities be addressed in the system budget? What are you doing there?
Well, that's why our request for capital funding seems large or larger than normal. In part because we need to replace, repair, and renovate facilities throughout the system. And they were all built around the same time. Well, not all, but a majority of them were built around the same time. And that's important to maintain and not to, we're not trying to create a whole bunch of new square footage. Enrollment is pretty level with the exception of a few campuses. At the same time, to maintain this just gets more costly and more costly. And we've had a few years of zero money in terms of maintenance, and that's exacerbated the problem.
And so the backlog gets longer and longer on buildings that perhaps went up quickly in the 50s to the 70s, maybe not the most robust materials?
Well, they may have been robust materials, but they were built quickly, that's correct, and some folks think cheaply. But in reality, they've served as well for many years, and their lifespan, 25 to 30, 35 years maybe, and we're plus 50. So it's mostly the mechanical systems. It's not the structural, although there are examples of structural problems too, exposed rebar and eroding concrete, et cetera. But mostly mechanical problems, and whether it's pipes or it's electrical or it's some form of air movement, that's a problem. We build to different standards today than we did back then.
We're talking about aging infrastructure across the UW System campuses and what is being done about it. UW System President Ray Cross stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a UW student? What building repairs or updates do you want prioritized? What is your major? Have you been impacted by the closure of majors? What can you share about your UW experience? Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So this is the time of year that the UW system budget comes together. A percentage of the budget depends on state funding. What are you prioritizing for the upcoming fiscal year?
Compensation for our employees is our number one priority, and we've asked for a 3% increase in the first year and a 3% increase in the second year. After many years of no increases or little increases, we think that's very appropriate since we're falling further and further behind compared to our competitors. That's our highest priority, and that it not just be 70% funded by the state. Because we've had our tuition frozen for 6 and it will be 8 after this budget, and for the 2-year campuses, it will have been 12 of the last 14 years that they've had tuition frozen. So 30% of the compensation cost is typically absorbed through the tuition side. And since it's been frozen for so long, we're asking for 100% of that to be funded by GPR, state dollars.
But the UW system recently approved raising graduate student tuition at 9 schools and out-of-state undergraduate tuition at 6 schools. How are those decisions made, and will they make up a difference in the shortfall?
No, they won't make up the difference, but those are made mostly, almost exclusively on the basis of market and cost. So you will see most of those, with the exception of 1 or 2, which was really a market-driven increase. Most of those are at inflation or under inflation, thereabouts.
As you look at the legislature and you have Governor Evers, who has a background in education, do you think your budget requests will be looked upon more favorably due to his background?
Well, Governor Evers served on our board and is clearly familiar with the arguments and the rationale for funding our system. But I also think that the big factor has to do with the economy. The economy in the state is improving, and you're seeing state revenues increase considerably. And whether they are sustained or not is always debatable. But at this point, that's the most promising piece of this. And in conversations with Governor Evers and his staff, as well as with legislators, they've all responded very warmly to our requests, and they see it as reasonable and appropriate. And several have said it's time we invest in the university more aggressively.
Let's look at Title IX for a moment. The federal U.S. Department of Education proposed rule changes to how campuses address certain Title IX grievances. And you wrote a letter laying out the strengths and weaknesses of the proposed change. You wrote, "University are not arms of or alternatives to the criminal justice system." What do you mean by that?
Well, Kate, I'd like to give a lecture for the next hour, but I don't think we have that much time. I think...
I'll cut you off.
Yeah, okay, please. A lot of people don't understand that the university has a student disciplinary process that is different from a criminal process, and those two are often perceived to be the same. They are not. And in our analysis of the rule change requested by the Department of Education, we believe that so much of what they're trying to impose on the university is to change our disciplinary processes to be more like criminal processes. Now, in some cases, that may be appropriate, but in their instructions, we found some things that I think were more balanced than they had been in the past, but other things we find incredibly difficult. In other words, one of the things we had trouble with, you can't discipline a student for an off-campus behavior, which on a campus that impacts the classroom, that impacts faculty, we have to have that authority to discipline a student. Doesn't mean it's a criminal act necessarily, it's a disciplinary act.
Do you see these proposed rule changes as taking away some of the powers that you have to dictate what happens on your campuses?
I'm not sure I would say it's taking away. I would say that it's trying to turn us into a legal entity, a police arm or a something of a more legal nature as opposed to a student disciplinary process. The weight of a criminal act is there clear and convincing evidence that this occurred? And if so, is the accused guilty of that? Is it clear and convincing? Student discipline, I just need the preponderance of the evidence. In other words, if I lay a feather on the scale, it seems more weighted in that direction, and therefore I can discipline in accordance with that kind of a scale. So the differences there, as an example, are important to us.
What facets of the proposed changes would better equip colleges and universities in dealing with sexual harassment and assault?
Well, I do think that there are a couple of things in the proposed rule changes that help to balance this. And in some cases, the previous rules were heavily weighted to benefit the accused. To benefit the victim. And this brings it into a greater balance between the accused and the victim. However, it also turns both of those into some sort of a legal fight. In our arena, we're not equipped to do that.
We're talking a number of issues with President Ray Cross: deferred maintenance, budgets, tuition costs, major closures, and more. UW System President Ray Cross stays with us. UW System released a report last week indicating nearly 37,000 people completed their degrees in the latest academic year. That's a 13% increase compared to a decade ago. One of the things we're talking about with your questions in the mix at 800-642-1234. Are you a UW alum? What issues do you think your alma mater should prioritize? Would you like the UW to adapt to a changing economy or stay true to the mission of the Wisconsin idea? Can it do both? 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. The UW Board of Regents last week approved tuition hikes for undergraduate and graduate students across the UW system. Graduate tuition will go up at 9 schools. Out-of-state undergraduate tuition will increase at 6 schools. But resident undergraduate tuition has been frozen since 2013. And tuition is one of the topics we're looking at here with UW System President Ray Cross joining us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you want to ask the UW System President? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Jeff now, who's joining us from Kakana. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Hope everybody gets to work safe this morning.
Hear, hear.
And I guess my question for President Cross would be, we do see that there's a problem with student tuition. Student tuition has gone up at a rate in the past that's far exceeded just about every other sector of our economy. And now President Cross is here seeming to kind of complain because we haven't raised tuition in 8 and 12 years. What's been done differently? What have you done to actually alleviate the cost to the students? Because this is a real problem, and I see you now on here asking for more money for infrastructure and stuff like that, which I admit does probably need to be done. But I don't see anything that's really helping the students. I'm sure they really appreciate, actually, that the tuition's been frozen and hasn't continued to rise.
Jeff, let's see what President Cross has to say about that.
Well, first of all, I do agree that prior to the frozen tuition period beginning in, 2013 or so, that it is true, Jeff, that I think tuition was increasing rather rapidly. And in the late 2000s, before 2010, I know there was a significant spike, Jeff, of 19% 1 year and 13% in the second year, in response to a cut in state aid at that point, state support at that point. So there's been all kinds of juggling on that, and I think that was probably, in my opinion, inappropriate. Having said all of that, though, we're doing several things. You mentioned frozen tuition, and whether it's frozen or should be growing at the rate of inflation or something that is connected to the average earnings of people of Wisconsin. You have to remember that since 2000 to 2013, wages in this state, and in every state for the most part, with few exceptions, wages were stagnant. They just were not growing. They were flat. And at the same time, we were increasing tuition. So your point is well taken. However, we are doing a number of things. The restructuring is in part due to a reduction in enrollment from demographics as well as a reduction in available funds. So I think that's a fair criticism of us. I would argue that this is still one of the best buys you will find anywhere. It's an incredible buy for a quality education. And we don't want to put that in jeopardy, but as inflation now starts to go up, we have to respond to that in a way that allows us to retain and attract the best faculty in the world, regardless of what institution you're attending. We also have to have the kinds of experiences and the learning experiences that allow students to be retained. And as Kate mentioned earlier, our graduation numbers are up. We're graduating more students, even though we have fewer enrollees. So we're doing a better job of putting students through the process, through the educational pipeline, getting them into the talent pipeline. And some of that's due to the implementation of high-impact practices. Those kinds of things cost a little bit of money, but they actually result in a higher quality education and greater impact.
Let's take a look at the program closures and the majors. UW-Stevens Point plans to cut 6 majors, and UW-Superior suspended 25 majors. What kind of impact do you think this will have on the success of the UW system?
Well, this is an area I'd like to have another hour to talk about. The closure of programs happens all along. We close about 3 programs for every 5 we bring on. So it's not an uncommon thing. I think what's different about this is that they're concentrated in several of the liberal arts areas. And the perception is that we are doing away with that. And quite candidly, at no point in the history of this country have we ever needed the kind of education that liberal arts provides infused into the specializations of the professions. We need people who are critical thinkers, who understand logical fallacies and circular logic, who can communicate effectively in every profession. And unfortunately, we see evidence that too few of those have that ability. So one of the arguments at Stevens Point, which is, I think, an excellent argument, and I don't want to weigh in on the results of that because what they propose to do has not come to me yet. They've been dealing with it rightfully through a process on the campus collaboratively with faculty and the community. But I think what they're trying to do is find ways to more effectively integrate the liberal arts into the professions. Rather than just sending them over to take a course, how does someone majoring in forestry or natural resources understand the history of forest management in this country? How do we get in this position? History is such a contextual thing, and it's so important in every profession. And I could go on and on here, so I won't do that, Kate, but...
But you're saying you need to integrate the humanities into the majors that are already out there that are not going to be cut.
Much more deeply than I think we have all across the country. And several experts have talked to me about this, and they hope our experiment works really well, because if it does, I think we'll create a better educated populace.
So last year, UW made a big adjustment of the restructuring, which you had just mentioned. What used to be 2-year UW colleges are now satellite campuses for nearby 4-year universities. Can you give us an update on that process and how it's rolled out?
Surprisingly, and I would keep knocking on wood here, it's gone really well. And that's because so many people have embraced it and are making it work. The Higher Learning Commission that came and visited us for accreditation purposes to evaluate just that, they were very complimentary of what we had done and very, very encouraging. So we're going to complete the first phase by June 30th, and we go into the second phase. We're very methodically approaching this in a way that hopefully does not in any way impact students. And we want to be as gracious and as supportive as we can of our faculty and staff.
Let's go to the phones now with Sarah joining us from Madison with thoughts. Sarah, hi.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to, I guess, maybe make more of a comment. I graduated from the UW system in 2003 with my nursing degree. It's now 2018. I'm still paying off my student loans. It's upsetting to me that we have students graduating with debilitating debt, and I see the coaches of the UW system making millions of dollars. I see President Cross bringing in between $500,000 and $600,000 a year. And we have people, doctors who are graduating and they can't even afford to practice general practice because their salary isn't enough to pay off their student loans. And I'm wondering how a price increase is going to help our healthcare crisis and how he can justify his salary and the salary of his coaches.
And Sarah graduated with a nursing degree in 2003, still paying off those student loans as a nurse.
Yeah, and Sarah, I have empathy for that. I don't want to speak inappropriately in regard to that because I think some of my kids do as well. So let me respond to it in a couple ways. First of all, years ago, the government provided more grants, and so there were fewer loans. And so the growth of student debt is in some way part to the federal government's changes in the way it deals with loans and grants, providing more loans and fewer grants. That's one thing. The second is, I think that what we're trying to do in terms of tuition is control our cost and also be very responsive to students, and you're seeing that in the restructure and in other ways. We're trying to maintain access and affordability. We also are exploring new ways to deal with debt, whether it's an income sharing agreement or other tools. And what is an income sharing agreement where a business or an employer, in your case, a hospital or nursing operation, would actually pay, agree to loan you money and while you're attending college. And if you went to work for them, they would pay that off for you as you during your years of employment. So there are a number of tools that we are looking at to reduce debt and help you deal with that. I would also argue that the market is what drives a lot of these up, and I think that's something a lot of people don't understand. And
President Cross, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Ray Cross is president of the University of Wisconsin System. We've been talking about issues concerning the UW, including how to address aging infrastructure. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.